Our text is Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Beloved, Jehovah has a book in which he is recording and in which he has recorded your life. That's the book about which David speaks in verse 16. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In fact, Scripture speaks of several books that Jehovah has in his possession and which Jehovah has written. There are the books described for us in Revelation 20 in which all the deeds of men, both good and evil, are recorded. Revelation 20:12 says, at the judgment, books were opened. There's also the book or the books in which God is recording all the works of his people with a view to remembering them and rewarding them. For example, Psalm 56:8 says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? And Malachi 3:16 says, then they that fear the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And of course, there is the book of life in which all the names of the elect are written. And that book of life will be opened on the day of judgment as well. And whosoever was not found written in that book was cast into the lake of fire. Now verse 16 of Psalm 139 is an altogether different book. This book records all the days of David, even before he had lived any of them. These are the days of David which are planned in advance eternally by God. And for each of Jehovah's children, there is such a book. God has written a book which contains the number and the type of the days which will constitute our lives. And that book, for each and every one of God's children, is a carefully thought out and widely planned book. And the thought that went into writing that book, those are the subject of David's cry of wonder in verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! David is filled with wonder at the number of Jehovah's thoughts. And not merely Jehovah's thoughts about things in general, but Jehovah's thoughts concerning him. Now, of course, Jehovah does not require books. It's not that Jehovah needs to write things down in a book lest he forget them. Of course, we're dealing here with poetry. We're told that Jehovah has books so that we, who ordinarily require books to remember things, can understand something about God. We are small and finite creatures. We need to understand that there is a recording, a laying up in heaven of all the things that take place. But of course, the God who is the subject of Psalm 139 is Jehovah, and he knows all things without recording them in a book. In fact, he knows all things afar off, as we saw in verse 2. Thou understandest my thought afar off. But the point that David is making here, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is the careful planning that Jehovah has made behind David's life. The careful planning that goes into every detail of the lives of God's children. Thought went into David's life, and thought went into our lives also. Precious, wonderful thoughts. The thoughts of Jehovah our God. Consider them, beloved, Jehovah's precious thoughts of me. Jehovah's precious thoughts of me. Notice first Jehovah's thoughts, and then their preciousness, and finally our response. Beloved, Jehovah, the great God of heaven and earth, the triune God, the God of Scripture, the God of the covenant, thinks. He thinks. Jehovah's thoughts are the plan, purposes, aims, and intentions of his infinite mind. That's the word used also in verse 2 with respect to David's thoughts. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. But with the word, beloved, the similarity between Jehovah's and David's thoughts ends. Jehovah's thoughts are not David's thoughts. They're not our thoughts. And our thoughts are not Jehovah's thoughts. And as the prophet Isaiah declares in Isaiah 55 verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Our thoughts, our intentions, our plans, our purposes are puny and changeable, often mistaken and sinful thoughts. Jehovah's thoughts, however, are the perfect thoughts of his infinitely glorious mind. Now, Jehovah's thoughts here in the text are not so much what he is thinking about, his meditations or his musings, but rather they are what he intends to do, what he has in mind to do, and what he shall do. To speak in theological terms, beloved, Jehovah's thoughts are his counsel. His counsel. And his one counsel is divided into individual decrees. We must not think of Jehovah's counsel as a blueprint or as something as cold and impersonal as a computer program, but rather it is the mind of Jehovah himself. Jehovah's counsel is his living, active will. Jehovah is his thoughts. Jehovah is his counsel. You cannot think of Jehovah without his thoughts or his counsel. Jehovah cannot be separated from his thoughts or his counsel. And that makes him unique, altogether different from the gods of the heathen. The gods of the heathen do not have thoughts. They don't see, they don't hear, and they don't think, and they don't plan, and they don't have any purposes. And beloved, the God worshipped by many Christians today does not appear to have any thoughts either. If you ask a Christian, a professing Christian in Northern Ireland today, does your God have thoughts? Does your God have a council? Does your God have decrees? Does your God have a plan? Often you will hear something along these lines. Yes, I believe that God has a general outline of a plan for history. He knows what he's aiming at in the future in the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a general plan, but they don't believe that God has a detailed plan. He has many, many individual thoughts that make up his one eternal, unchangeable counsel. In fact, there are many Christians who believe that God is constantly changing his plan to adapt to what is going on in history because things happen among men, sinful men and women, that he doesn't expect them to do, and therefore he has to change his plan. And going out of vogue today is the idea of a God who has an eternal, unchangeable decree. That's the God of Psalm 139. That's the God of Scripture. He has an eternal, unchangeable council, which consists of multitudes of individual thoughts. And he is the God whose counsel will come to pass exactly as he thought it out before the foundation of the world. How precious are his thoughts? We sang earlier from Psalm 33. Psalm 33 contrasts in verses 10 and 11 the thoughts and the counsel of the heathen and the thoughts and the counsel of the Lord. Verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Everything happens exactly as God eternally thought it out, has purposed that it shall happen. And so Jehovah's thoughts have no beginning, and they will have no ending. Jehovah does not suddenly think of something which he had not thought of before, and Jehovah's thoughts never change. He's always occupied with his thoughts. He never changes his thoughts. He never forgets any aspect of his thoughts. And his thoughts are all comprehensive. That is to say, they include his thoughts concerning all things. There's nothing in creation, in history, no matter how insignificant it might appear to us, which is not included in Jehovah's thoughts. And that's why David, being a finite creature, is not able to comprehend and to fathom the infinity of the thoughts of Jehovah. And God has only given us an insight into a very small section, you might say, of his counsel in the Word of God. How precious are his thoughts. Now, beloved, if you desire to crystallize or to boil down all of Jehovah's thoughts and purposes and counsel into one central thought, what would that be? And the Bible tells us it is his own glory. That is Jehovah's number one priority. That is the reason for all things. God's, Jehovah's own glory. And if you desire to go deeper and ask yourself the question, what is at the deepest center of all of Jehovah's thoughts? That is to say, how has Jehovah eternally and unchangeably purposed within himself to glorify himself to the highest possible degree in the widest possible way? What is his chief thought? The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief thought of Jehovah. You might say, therefore, in all reverence, that Jehovah has a one-track mind. A one-track mind. He's always aiming for one thing, which is his glory. He's always aiming for that one thing, which is to glorify himself in the salvation of an elect church by Jesus Christ. That's why he has created all things. He wills to display to all the universe, men and angels, righteous and wicked alike, he wills and has purposed and has thought to display the full spectrum of his perfections. Jehovah wills not only that he is and remain most blessed within himself forever, but that his infinite blessedness be known to creatures outside of himself, and that he be therefore praised and glorified by those creatures. He wills that his goodness be tasted by his beloved people, whom he has chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And therefore he orders all his other thoughts so that they serve that one central thought, that he reveal his holiness and righteousness and majesty and power, infinity and grace and love and mercy in the highest possible way through Jesus Christ. That's why Jehovah chose to create in the first place. That's why Jehovah chose to create the kind of world that we see around us. That's why Jehovah chose to make man, male and female, in his own image. That's why Jehovah ordained that sin would enter into the world and death would come into the world and men would fall, so he could promise to them through Jesus Christ a way of salvation and redemption. That's why he sent his Son into the world. That's why he ordered history in such a way, both before and after the coming of Jesus Christ. Everything serves that one great central thought, the glory of his own name in the coming of Jesus Christ. But we must not forget the personal aspect of this psalm. That's why the sermon is Jehovah's precious thoughts of me. Of me. Of David, and by extension of every child of God, and therefore of me. The thoughts with which David is exercised in our text are the precious thoughts, verse 17, haunt me. They concern the personal details of David's life, and therefore the personal details of our lives as well. We must not lose sight of that, beloved, as we study this psalm together. David is not so much musing in this psalm about Jehovah's thoughts concerning the rise and fall of empires, or his thoughts concerning the sun and the moon and the stars, but rather he's concerned about Jehovah's thoughts concerning him, and all the seemingly mundane and insignificant aspects of his life. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Or as it is in the original word order, and to me, how precious thy thoughts, O God. We must remember that, beloved, this morning. The Almighty God of heaven and earth, the unchangeable and unchanging Jehovah, the God who is called I Am, the God of the covenant, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is thinking about you and about me this morning. That's the message of our text. And his thoughts are thoughts which are precious unto us. Jehovah's thoughts of David are all of those thoughts which are written in the book of Jehovah's counsel, which has been completed before David has lived even one of those days. Jehovah's thoughts have determined every detail of David's life. All his childhood, all his adulthood, his being king upon the throne, and the day of his death. And the ultimate purpose of all of Jehovah's thoughts behind all of the details of David's life is to glorify Jehovah through the salvation of David in the coming Jesus Christ. And therefore, David is not alarmed to think that the all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere present, Almighty Jehovah is thinking about him. But rather, it comforts him to know this. He delights in this truth because, as he says in our text, Jehovah's thoughts are precious to him. And now David seeks or begins to try to place a value on the thoughts of Jehovah, but he cannot, and therefore he exclaims in wonder, how precious. Precious here means valuable or costly. Jehovah's thoughts are valuable, costly, or precious. How often, beloved, do you or do I think about Jehovah's thoughts? And when we do think about Jehovah's thoughts, do we often think that they are precious? And do we often think that they are precious to us? Do we value those thoughts the way we ought? And if we do, we will, as David does here, delight to meditate upon them. How precious are Jehovah's thoughts? How valuable are Jehovah's thoughts? Are they more valuable than gold and silver and precious jewels? The Bible says those things are valuable. Something is valuable or precious or costly if it's difficult to find, it's rare, or it's difficult to make. Then it is valuable or costly. But Jehovah's thoughts are more precious than silver or gold. The Bible says that life is precious. Surely our life is more precious than gold or rubies. And the Bible says that precious in God's sight is the death and therefore also the life of his saints. But Jehovah's thoughts are more precious than that. In fact, there is nothing more precious, more valuable than Jehovah's thoughts, and we ought not to esteem anything higher than Jehovah's thoughts. And our thoughts must be rejected in favor of, in deference to, Jehovah's thoughts. Now, if you believe that Jehovah's thoughts toward you are precious and costly and valuable, your attitude will be this. You will want to know as much about those thoughts as you possibly can. And where will you find information concerning Jehovah's thoughts? In the Word of God. Jehovah has recorded some of his thoughts in the Scriptures, that we might know some of the things which he thinks about. And especially, Jehovah declares to us his thoughts in the preaching of the gospel. When you come to hear the preaching of the gospel, God says to you, God says to us, my people, I have some thoughts concerning you. I want you to hear and to know some of my thoughts. Come and hear what I am thinking. Precious thoughts concerning you, my people. And that's a test. How precious are Jehovah's thoughts to us? Do you open the Bible throughout the week? Do you come eager to hear what Jehovah is thinking and what will be expounded to you? Or are you more interested in the thoughts of what's going on in this world? Will your thoughts this evening be directed towards sport instead of Jehovah's precious thoughts? And if you're interested and really see value in Jehovah's thoughts, you will not absent yourself from church where Jehovah's thoughts are regularly and faithfully expounded to you. And you will not go to a false church either where Jehovah's thoughts are twisted and are denied and are corrupted but are not faithfully set forth. Jehovah's thoughts are precious toward us because they are thoughts of salvation in Jesus Christ. We must understand, beloved, that Jehovah never thinks upon us except in connection to Jesus Christ. We are in Jesus Christ, and therefore the thoughts of Jehovah directed toward us who are in Jesus Christ are precious thoughts. That's why Jehovah can have thoughts toward us of peace. That's what Jehovah says in Jeremiah 29, which we read together earlier. A very well-known passage. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Those are the thoughts that Jehovah had toward his people when they were in captivity in Babylon. He said to them, I will deliver you. But it will be in 70 years' time. You must not think that you're going to be coming home tomorrow or next week. Settle down in Babylon. You're there for the long haul. But do not think that I have forgotten about you there in Babylon, because I have thoughts of salvation, thoughts of peace. And those thoughts, of course, are rooted in election. They're thoughts of love. Jehovah says to us, says to all his people in all ages, I thought of you when I chose you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. I thought of you when I determined to bring you into a relationship of friendship with myself. My thoughts concerning you are thoughts of forgiveness, of peace. I thought of you when Jesus Christ went to the cross because your sins were imputed to him. And I thought of you when he went into the tomb. And I thought of you when he rose again from the dead. I'm still thinking of you when he is at the right hand of God in heaven. I'm still thinking of you as he intercedes for you at my right hand. And I will never stop thinking of you. And all things are working toward the end when he shall return and you will be with me forever. Those are the kinds of thoughts that Jehovah has toward us. Those were the thoughts that Jehovah had toward David as well. And that's why, of course, Jehovah is able to have such thoughts toward us. Jehovah does not have such grace-filled and loving thoughts toward the reprobate wicked who are not found in Jesus Christ. But Jehovah has those thoughts toward us because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. He, Jesus Christ, has washed away our sins. He, Jesus Christ, has given us life, his own life, in his resurrection and by the power of the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus Christ, has given unto us his own righteousness, so we stand before Jehovah. Only in Jehovah, only in Christ can Jehovah think such precious thoughts concerning us. And the other aspect of the preciousness of Jehovah's thoughts is found in our text in terms of their sheer number. How great is the sum of them? How great is the sum of Jehovah's thoughts? Or literally, how great is the head of them? You might think of this metaphor. David is looking toward an army, an innumerable host which is coming toward him. And as he looks toward the army, he can pick out here or there, he can pick out some of the captains of that army, but cannot pick out the individual soldiers. There are captains or heads with 50s, perhaps, or hundreds, or thousands. And so vast is that army that David says, how great is the sum or the head of it? In other words, it's so vast that he can't even pick out the broadest outline of Jehovah's thoughts, never mind the intricate details of Jehovah's thoughts. The number of Jehovah's thoughts, beloved, is such that we can never find out the sum of them. Think of Jehovah's thoughts concerning something which is small and seemingly insignificant. Think of a beetle in your garden. How many thoughts of Jehovah went into the creation of one beetle? And how many thoughts of Jehovah govern the movement of all beetles upon the face of the earth? And how many thoughts of Jehovah determine the relationship of all beetles to all other beetles, and all beetles to all other creatures, both which creatures eat the beetles and which creatures are eaten by the beetles? And how many thoughts of Jehovah monitor the number of beetles in the world? Or what about the sun which shines in the sky? How many thoughts of Jehovah are directed and were directed in order to create the sun and to ensure that the sun continues to shine, and to ensure that the planets continue to revolve around the sun, and the sun supplies light to all the creatures which God has made. We've only begun to scratch the surface of all of Jehovah's thoughts. And go to David now. How many thoughts of Jehovah determined the entire life of David, beginning with David's family tree? How many thoughts determined the life of Jesse? How many thoughts determined all of the circumstances which brought together Jesse and David's mother and all the children that they brought forth? And think of the history before David. For example, Ruth coming out of Moab to marry Boaz to be the great ancestor of David. And how many more thoughts determined all the details of David's life and all the details of his children and his children's children, all the way to the coming of Jesus Christ? And how many thoughts went into the planning, all the details of your life and my life? That's the issue in our text. Remember what verse 2 says, "Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." How many thoughts of Jehovah determined David's path and his lying down and his uprising and his down sitting and all of his thoughts and all of David's yet unspoken words? All of that and much more is included in Jehovah's precious thoughts. And that's true of us as well. And that for us, beloved, is something which we cannot really begin to understand. Jehovah's mind is infinite, so that all of his children are on his mind at the same time. There's never a time, beloved, when you or one of his children ever slip out of Jehovah's mind. Jehovah is always thinking of you. Jehovah never stops thinking of you. He cares for you. Whether you're happy and your circumstances are good, or you're sad and your circumstances are evil, in your deepest afflictions, he is always thinking about you and his purpose, which he purposed for you before the foundation of the world, is always on track. Everything's always going according to his plan. And everything, without exception, in Jehovah's thoughts, is working together for your good, to serve Jehovah's glory and to serve your salvation in Jesus Christ. And is that not, beloved, a wonderfully comforting thought? We must not allow anyone to rob us of the comfort that we have in knowing that our God is the God who decrees all things for his own glory and for the good of his children. And all of this, beloved, has an intense and profound impression upon the mind and soul of David. He attempts to count up in his mind Jehovah's thoughts, but he concludes it is impossible. How precious, how great is the sum of them. And then he uses an expression in verse 18, "If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." That's a common expression in the Old Testament to describe something that is innumerable. It's easy for us, even the children, to understand the figure. If you go to the beach and take a handful of sand in your hand and allow that sand to trickle through your fingers and attempt to begin to count the individual grains of sand, you'll not be able to do so. And if you try to count all of the sand on that one beach, let's say at Fort Rush, you'll never be able to finish the job. You'll never be able to begin the job. And then try to imagine counting all the sand on all the beaches and all the deserts in the entire world, and then come up with the sum total of the grains of sand. Impossible. Impossible. David says that Jehovah's thoughts are more than all those grains of sand. They are more in number than the sand. That's not an exaggeration. That's not said for poetic effect. That's true. The number of thoughts in the infinite mind of Jehovah is more than the number of grains of sand. And all of this thinking, all of this meditating upon the thoughts of Jehovah exhausts David. And so he speaks in verse 18 of awaking. When I awake, I am still with thee. Seems rather curious, rather abrupt at this point in the psalm to say that. But the best and the simplest explanation is this: David awakes because David fell asleep. The sheer mental exhaustion, beloved, of thinking about these deep things, of attempting to count and enumerate Jehovah's thoughts, exhausted David. And he fell asleep. He fell asleep thinking of Jehovah's precious, innumerable thoughts. And as David drifted into sleep, he's still thinking about these things. And when David awakes out of his sleep, to his great delight and wonder, he says, Jehovah was still with him. Jehovah did not depart from him when he fell asleep. And as David slept, Jehovah did not sleep, and Jehovah's thoughts of love and peace and salvation were still upon him. David's thoughts may have been interrupted by sleep, but Jehovah's thoughts are not interrupted by sleep. And this is a good lesson for us as well. We ought to make it our practice to think upon God as we are preparing to sleep, to end our days, each day, thinking about Jehovah God, about how precious He is to us, how precious His thoughts are to us, what a glorious God He is to us. And then as we fall asleep, we're thinking about Him. And as we wake up, the first thing we think about is Jehovah our God. And we are filled with wonder that Jehovah our God is still with us. How precious are Jehovah's thoughts, thoughts of peace and salvation to me. And how great are Jehovah's thoughts, their mighty number, greater than the sand of the sea. That, beloved, is our God, Jehovah, the God who loves us and the God who thinks of us. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of love, thoughts of salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, how precious are thy thoughts unto us. Enable us, Father, to think upon these things. to think upon thy greatness and glory, and not to be distracted by all of the vanity which is around us, but to remember that thou art always with us, thou art our faithful covenant God. Bless us as thy church, keep us faithful to thy word and truth, for Christ's sake. Amen.